there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales.
Hello ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Alan Air. We have not just one VIP guest today, we have two. We have superstar DJ Greg James and his award-winning, best-selling author wife, Bella Mackey. This is the final boarding call for Greg James and Bella Mackey. This is the final boarding call for Greg James, Bella Mackey. Greg, Bella, Greg, Bella, Greg, Bella, get here now. Thank you.
Well, we got two passengers on board, Bella and Greg. Hello.
Hello.
Is it the first time you've flown Alan Air?
It is the first time. And can I just say, the cabin is looking lovely.
Thank you so much. Lovely. Thank you. Bella, why are you laughing?
Sorry, no, I'm not laughing. It's exciting to be on a plane.
Isn't it nice to be on a plane?
I've listened to the podcast a lot and I'm just wondering whether are you just doing the announcements or are you the pilot? Are you actually flying it? And would you be any good?
Stop trying to pick apart my podcast. It's very flimsy at the best of times without you saying. No, so what kind of passengers are you? When you get on the plane, are you a kind passenger? Do you put your seat back even though it is only like a 30, 45 minute journey?
I'm kind. I think I'm a kind passenger. You're not a great flyer.
I don't love flying, so normally I try and just go to sleep, which means I just put my head down on the table and try and ignore everyone for 45 minutes.
She slumps forwards.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's weird.
Head down on the table, yeah.
It's like she's been shot. She sort of slumps forward onto the... It's really weird on the tray table.
Oh, God.
The tray table's so disgusting as well, and she's just sort of smelling it.
Well, this is pre-pandemic. I didn't know how disgusting everything actually was. But, yeah, I try and just go to sleep because nothing good happens on a plane.
Should I go and get a tray pop it there and you just rest your head and then you feel like it is a proper plane?
Yeah, now I feel like I'm going on holiday, yeah.
Oh, God, so do you read magazines or books or do you just have your just stare down
no,
at the
I
tray?
No, I listen to...
Oh, God. You freak.
That's it.
I listen to a podcast and then I just try and go to sleep because, nothing good happens on a plane.
Well, that's because you're asleep. You're having a great time
asleep, over here. Staring at the bloody black tray.
The food's bad. You know, the wine is bad. There's turbulence. I just want to get there.
I love a plane. I'm so excited. I'm like a kid on a plane.
Yeah.
I really love it. I love chatting to all the cabin crew.
Yeah.
I'll try and get into the cockpit if I can. Not for any sort of, terrorist reasons.
No, that's good to hear.
I like to get in and just chat to everyone and
have a
nice time.
You've made me sound like a Grinch.
Well...
To be fair, the last plane we were on, that girl clearly fancied you.
Bella got so pissed off.
I was so pissed off.
She listened
she
to
was
the
flirting with him so much. And I wouldn't mind. Like, that's fine. But she didn't acknowledge me. She bought him a glass of champagne.
You were asleep.
Not me. Not anyone else. We weren't even in first class. She was just like, bought him some champagne and completely didn't acknowledge me the whole flight and was just like trying to get in there.
I was on the aisle. And she listened to the breakfast show, and she, because a lot of cabin crew listen in early morning because they're going to do stupid early starts and stuff. Yeah. And we just had a lovely chat. She was very sweet. No need to be jealous.
I wasn't jealous. It was just, I thought it was very disrespectful to try and climb you like a tree while I'm sitting right there.
Weirdest thing, though, is that you're pretending to be asleep on the tray.
Oh, to be fair, yeah, I was pretending to be asleep.
With one eye open, just scowling.
Just
fuck
so
off.
That she could see my eye.
Back off.
Like a lizard.
Oh, look, there he is with his narcoleptic... is it girlfriend or wife?
Wife.
All right, love. God.
I'm like a dog peeing everywhere. I'm his wife. Territorial. I'm his wife, damn it.
Hiya, love. Do you want anything off the trolley? Oh, my God, are you Greg James? Oh, my God, Greg James. Oh, my God. Hiya, I'm Chloe. That's my name here on my badge, just above my tit. With the erect nipple. You shouldn't be looking, JK.
I was on a plane once watching that movie, you know, Wolf of Wall Street, and then the woman served the lunch, and it was that bit where he blows coke up that woman's bum, and then she looked at me like I'd brought one of my own pornos along, and I was like, this was on the menu. I haven't said, can you put this on? I mean, not shaving Ryan's privates, please. And then I said, there they get, yeah, they're like, disgusting. I'm like, well, I didn't know.
Yeah, you're not a director.
I didn't direct it. I mean, it was an option on the thing.
Have you ever seen someone watch your stand up on a plane?
Oh, it's horrible. And I've watched this woman, she didn't laugh once.
Have you? You've actually done it?
Yeah, because none of my shows are on, but Live at the Apollo is.
Right.
Where I look so young, because I mean, but everyone even knows me because I've just aged. I'm like that man from Up. You know, the old man in Up.
The balloon house.
Yes, that's what I look like now.
So that's what I imagine Alanair's like. It's just a plane with balloons attached to it.
Yes, it is.
And people watching you live at the Apollo saying how young you look.
I watched it and they just didn't laugh. And then I've seen someone read a book. Well, you're both authors. What's it? Have you ever seen anyone reading a book?
I've seen kids read the books, and that's good.
That's
and
nice,
you want to go over
it?
And go, are you enjoying it? Yeah. Have you seen people read your book?
I once saw someone on a bus reading Jog On, and my sister grabbed her and said, she wrote Jog On. And this woman looked at us like we were insane and just sort of nodded and went, okay, and sort of put her headphones back on.
Oh, sad.
And I think she just didn't really understand. And I have never seen anyone reading How to Kill Your Family. How to Kill Your Family.
I take Bella around bookshops and get her to sign the stock. And I say, I'm here with the author, Bella Mackey. Would you like her to sign the stock you've got in the shop? And just because it mortifies Bella.
Well, that's quite a normal thing, though, to go and say she wrote. That's quite a nice thing. It's not like she brought out the Bible and said she wrote it.
No, I know. Yeah, I know. I was hoping for more, to be honest. But it was underwhelming.
So this is the travel podcast. Tell me somewhere you love going together. Because we are actually technically on holiday together last time. We went to Edinburgh. We were in the same hotel and then went to that amazing place behind the bookshelf.
Yeah.
I had the disgusting cocktail.
Oh, you did?
For one of my oldest friends, Elliot, who knows me for ages. I go for a wee or something. He gets me a cocktail, blackcurrant and egg.
With an aubergine emoji sticker in it. But that barman, he was sweet. He was really trying to impress you. He was really trying to give you something you'd like. And
but he was like the cabin crew on BA for me, but he was doing it for
you.
Plying
but that
you.
Cocktail's like someone had dipped a boiled egg in some Ribena. That was the taste. It was just disgusting. Anyway, so we've been on holiday to Edinburgh. Where do you love going? Is it city breaks or do you like one of these long... long
do you know what? Yeah, I do like a city break, actually. I love going to Edinburgh. I love going to Rome. We go to, well, pre-pandemic. We used to go to Rome every year for your birthday.
Yeah.
You love going to Paris. I mean, yeah, I quite like going city breaks with you, wandering around, mooching about.
Edinburgh's amazing, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's got everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got everything.
I've done a few trips to the festival, which obviously you've been to a million times, and that is it's amazing then. But just sort of wandering around is good.
Tell me where you want a romantic, where do you go for sexy time?
Well, I think Paris, but it never used to be for me, because I went there when I broke up with someone and I was really sad and I thought, I'm going to go to Paris just for a week.
Oh, you idiot, why would you go there
I don't
for?
Know, it was the stupidest thing. It was the most pathetic week of my life. I was in this nice hotel and I thought... yeah, I know what I'm going to do to get over this quickly. I'm going to go to the City of Love.
Oh, no.
But since then, since I have now fallen in love again
With you, not the cabin crew. we have a nice time in Paris. But I had this, you know, when you go, right, I'm going to book a really nice hotel and it's going to have a great time. But yeah, it was actually just tragic.
Because you sound really sad.
You know, he's going out for steak frites on your own.
And watching other people holding hands, taking photos, yeah, and like putting locks on the bridges.
Oh yeah, the bridge with the locks, yeah. I'm going to take my lock cutters. If I'm not happy, none of you fuckers are allowed to be happy.
You went to the City of Love, yeah, to get over a breakup.
Yeah, but we do like, we love going to Paris, but also just sitting in the sun. I just like to go and just be somewhere hot, really.
Bella will be signing copies of her book, How to Kill Your Family, in Row C. However, Greg will be just sitting there sipping champagne. Enjoy your flight.
Where did you go on holiday as kids?
Camping.
Oh, camping.
Camping in France.
France, very nice. What, down south?
Yeah, it was a sort of classic. Mum and dad were both teachers, so they had 6 weeks off. So we would just go and do weeks. Lazy. Queen teachers.
I'm joking.
Queen teachers lazy.
I'm joking.
She's lost the room.
I'm joking.
A lazy
I'm
tea.
I'm joking.
So where did you go, Bella, then?
We went to Italy. We were, you know, standard, bog standard, unimaginative middle class people. And we went to Tuscany every year.
I'd say that's not bog standard
that
middle
is,
class.
Tuscany is not bog standard. You go in a caravan in Great Yarmouth every year, love. That's bog standard.
No, I mean bog standard, like unimaginative. Like, yeah, we never went anywhere exotic. We never went anywhere further afield. It was just like, yep, 2 weeks, Italy, that's what we're doing.
But do you like Tuscany?
Yeah,
it's gorgeous,
it's
isn't
gorgeous.
It? It's so nice,
yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
The most beautiful place in the world.
we've made a pact with Joe Lycett that one day we'll all have a little farm in Tuscany. And he said he's going to turn himself into an old Italian woman with fat arms making pasta. And then we're just going to all live together in a little smallholding with donkeys and things. But Tuscany is obviously beautiful. But I have such fond memories of Eurocamp back in the south of France with mum and dad in little tents or mobile homes and stuff. I loved it. It was so fun. Wild boar.
Was it just you three? You didn't take friends?
Yeah,
with
my sister would be there as well.
But she was a bit older, so presumably by then she was like...
But I liked making friends with the French kids and stuff. I quite liked all that. And like, we'd exchange like English chewing gum for French chewing gum. That would be like the most exciting thing. We're like, oh, I'm going to buy a necklace from this little machine and stuff. I used to love all that stuff.
But did you write letters and stuff to them? Because that only lasts a few... Then you get bored, don't you?
You get bored really quickly.
Yeah.
I do remember there was a couple of kids from Sutton Coldfield, and I wrote one letter to them, and they wrote one back, and I was like, I'm bored now.
Yeah.
You forget
I
about
had my first kiss with an Italian boy.
Oh, my God. Hello.
On the coast, on the coast.
How do you think he feels about this? It's like you were the cabin crew.
Excuse me.
It was steamy.
I feel a bit awkward.
I was 13. I was in some coastal town in Italy. I can't remember the name.
Was he the same age?
I have no idea.
Oh, God.
I was with my cousin and we went out. We were allowed to go out late on our own. And this very handsome boy called Roberto, somehow
remembers his name.
It's important to the story. Oh. We ended up kissing. It was very romantic. And I said, oh, it felt like time stopped still. And my cousin said, with authority, she was a year older than me, she said, that only happens 3 times in your life.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, no, I've already used it out once. Anyway...
What was the second? Because the third sat here.
Dear. So what? Anyway, emergency landing, I'm afraid.
Anyway, I go home and I say to all my friends, oh, I've had my first kiss. And, you know, we go back to school and I say he was called Roberto and he was so handsome. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, turns out Roberto wrote to the hotel where I was staying to express his love for me. And he wrote a letter to me and they forwarded it to my mum and dad. And turns out his name was not Roberto, it was Umberto. And he'd written me this whole letter. I brought it into school to show one of my friends.
What?
She ripped it out of my hand. They all locked themselves in the toilet and read out this letter, this love letter from Umberto to me.
What? Which school did you go to? St. Trinian?
I know.
This is insane. It was Umberto sounds like he's 50.
God, well, this is like a Netflix documentary. He just keeps...
I think I still have the letter somewhere, but it basically went on about my beautiful eyes and that he hoped...
You're 13!
Yeah, well, maybe he didn't know that. I don't think we talked that much about, you know...
Isn't it funny? Roberto. And then when I found out his name was Umberto,
you saw
my image, he just got fatter
in
my imagination. Yeah. It's like he's eaten something in my imagination.
It's a huge and crucial difference. Yeah. And I was devastated.
No one's fucking Umberto.
I was devastated. Yeah.
Roberto, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Roberto.
Oh, yeah. Exotic.
His ugly brother turns up.
Here's Umberto.
Hello. Playing the tuba.
You beautiful girl. Eyes are nice.
I like your eyes.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're enjoying your flight. This is a message for Bella Mackie. There is an Roberto on board who wants to see... Sorry. Umberto. Umberto on board who wants to see you. So if Bella could come down to the captain's cockpit, you will be reunited with Umberto. Thank you very much. Enjoy your flight.
Who complains out of you two? Do you
complain? Oh, no, it's Greg. It's Greg. Oh, my God.
No, because I'm not. I thought you would be.
I know, me too. Everyone you'd think, yeah, right? Everyone would think it. No, we're all saying it.
Everyone's thinking it.
We're all thinking it.
That's so wrong. Everyone's been saying it.
No,
they're not.
It's not me. It's Greg. He has this weird thing where he goes into hotel rooms and he sort of assesses them. He sort of walks around like, you know, like a woman looking for kind of the feng shui in a room. Yeah. He does that and then he goes, it's not quite right.
Well,
it's not quite right. And then he looks on the website and he's like, I've got a sense about that other room. And then he goes downstairs and is very charming and says, like, you need to put us in the other room. And they always do.
Yeah, it's not, I'm not sort of a complainy.
No, he's very charming about
but it. But it's more of like...
But the first room is never the right room.
But it's always because they put you in, I think they try, I've got a theory that they do take the piss and they go, try and get the shit room away quickly.
Yes.
And I think if you might be the first one in that day, they give you the shit room that might have, it might smell of fags or it might have something weird going on. And there's nothing worse than a...
Who told us pick the third room?
Kelly Hoppen.
Well, me and Kelly.
Third room, she says. Never accept the first, never the second, the third.
Is that right?
Third. Yes. So keep on going until you get that penthouse suite.
Oh, Greg's making a huge mistake. You always accept the second.
Oh, no. That's because I'm weak.
Well, now you know it has to be the third.
The third room.
Because I just sit there cowering in the corner saying, like, oh, it's fine. Don't worry. We'll just take anything.
I know. I'm
like,
such a sucker.
Yeah. I'm like, no, it's fine. But it looks onto the motorway. It's fine.
But would you say something if the room wasn't quite right? You'd go, it's not. Have you got anything else, basically?
I still wouldn't say that. Really? Yeah.
Would you get an assistant to do it, though?
I'd get one of my assistants.
Yeah, there you go.
Alan Carr, you know, needs an upgrade now.
Sorry, this room isn't very Alan Carr.
I could then start a vendetta on TripAdvisor. Yeah, you know, because there are people like that. I've had a lovely time. One star rats.
You wouldn't want Alan to mention this on Twitter, would you?
No, so. This could be very damaging to your business and brand.
But it's interesting, when Jack D was on this, he said something quite interesting, which I related to, where he said, when you book somewhere really nice... Yeah. You almost ruin it for yourself because you're expecting the best thing ever. So actually, probably the life lesson there is to go one down.
Yeah.
Just be happier with something slightly less luxury.
Well, some of the websites take the piss, especially like the Parisian ones. How many times they put a picture of Eiffel Tower on the website and then someone holds onto your ankles and swings you, do you know what I mean, from the top floor, you might get a glimpse.
We accidentally stayed at a sort of sex hotel in Paris last time we went.
Oh, yeah, we did.
We booked it last minute and it was kind of one of the only ones left on the website. And we got there and it had like... There was no lighting in the whole hotel. Do you remember? It was all candlelight.
That's Hotel de Coste.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was Hotel de, you know, STD. It was like sort of shiny...
Hotel de STD.
Shiny surface everywhere, no lighting. And then in the room, instead of like chocolates on the pillow, there was just a massive bottle of lube.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a real enjoy your sex time. Like, it was very like, you must have sex.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God, that's weird,
it was
isn't
a
it?
Weird sex hotel. It felt very uncomfortable.
We didn't, did we, either?
No, we didn't.
I don't. I'm not very sex hotel. I don't know if you can tell that.
No,
that's
no,
not
no.
really my sort
everyone's saying it.
Yeah, everyone's saying it. I ordered the lube to the room.
When we walked in.
You can get lube on room service.
It's too much pressure when there's lube in the room. And then you're meant to build up, aren't
you? And also,
you?
It was this. It was a big bottle. It was big. Kind of like a big super saver bottle. You know, yeah, you know, like one you'd get in Cost Cutter. Like, it was a big bottle, family size.
Family
size.
Family
size. Christ.
For the family that like to...
Dad, have you got any... got any left?
Oh, my God. Let's move on.
Please.
Quickly.
This is a little message to all our frequent flyer passengers. Thank you so much for flying Alan Air. And a little reminder that when you fly Alan Air Plus, you get a horizontal bed, a three-course meal, and yourself covered in lube 24/7. If you want more lube, please ask one of our servers who will cover your eyes in lube, your whole body in lube, and you can go fuck yourself.
So tell me one of the worst places you've been. Amanda Holden, Cyprus. She got caught in a mini tornado. She went back next year because she went, I'm going to give it a try. And then she broke a leg on a jet ski. So we're not slagging off. It's not funny. She had to wear one of those massive boots.
Well, I mean, I had a bad time in Paris because I was lonely and sad. So I'm quite PTSD about Paris itself.
I just imagine your head on the pillow and then you roll over. There's a massive family pack of lube on the other pillow. No, anyway, let's not talk about lube. Come on.
There was a place in France we went to recently, and it was our first.
Are you still laughing about Amanda breaking her leg?
Mm. Can you imagine Amanda Holden breaking her leg still? Replaying that in your head, are you, over and over again?
Why are you the kind of person who watches You've Been Framed and like the kids who fly off swings and people walk into plate glass doors? I love it when fat people walk into a patio door. Never not funny.
There was that time when you got your finger was infected.
I thought that made the holiday. I thought it made it funnier.
It ballooned up to like, it basically looked like a little frog on her hand. It was just horrible.
We weren't married and we were only just dating.
Pulsating.
Oh, I hate it when it pulses.
And I had to pop it.
No, you didn't pop it. It exploded in the bath. And then I realised that I was going to have to show you. And I was like, is he going to leave me? Because it literally exploded. Like, it was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. And then we went to the doctor and he was very nice and gave me antibiotics and said, you can carry on drinking. And it was fine. It was fine.
But it was very early days relationship. Which was like, I'm fine. I was wondering, can you have a quick look at this? And I went, oh, God, no, that's fine. I can deal with that. I can deal with that. Let me go to the kitchen.
Honestly, it was one of the worst things you've ever seen. It was horrifying. My finger's never been the same since, actually. But
let's have a look. You've got lovely nails.
It was this one.
Just to cover up the frog.
There was a chunk of it that is still slightly cut off because it was a really bad thing, wasn't it?
But how did you do it? Because you got to worry about sepsis and septicemia.
No, it was definitely like a serious infection where literally when I was in the shower, half my finger, I just saw it explode. And I was like, I don't think that's supposed to happen. I think it was from a bad manicure.
And manicures go wrong.
Yeah, they said, PSA, they say, be careful when they try and cut your cuticles because that can cause very bad skin infections. Yeah.
I was trying to think about the bad places.
I had a very bad holiday the year before I met you.
Oh,
tell us
where. I was on holiday with my family. You know, that's what I did into my 30s, always with my parents.
That's all right.
It's
Tuscany, fine. I'd bloody go with your family for holiday to Tuscany.
Do you want to go in August?
Yeah, can I come?
Come along,
thanks.
Imagine that.
So we were on holiday and then...
I will turn up, she doesn't understand.
No, come.
Hi,
come.
Hat box. Suitcase.
Hat box.
Suitcase full of lube.
Yeah.
Stop
no,
it now.
Fine.
We need to move
My
on.
My family will have the lube. So we booked 2 days at the end of the holiday to go to the beach because my mum had this remembrance of a town that she'd been to with her mum back in the 60s. And so she booked it and she was like, it's very glamorous. It's very cool. It's just, you know, Sophia Loren used to go there and we were really excited. And we got there and like Sophia Loren had never been to this place. It was like sort of Bognor Regis, right? And our hotel was, you couldn't see the sea. It took 25 minutes to drive to the sea from anywhere in the town. And when you got there, you couldn't park. So we only managed to get to the sea once and it took us 3 hours. And then on the way back, my mum went, oh, sod this. Look, we're going to fly home tomorrow. So we're going to book into an airport hotel and we're going to fly home. And when she puts us into the airport hotel, she booked one room for me, my dad and her. And she went, it's fine. We're saving money and you can just sleep on the cot bed in the room. Oh. And the context of this is my husband had just left me, my first husband. So I was feeling like a bit of a life failure, right? And I had to go to sleep and I was lying there, couldn't sleep. There was no air conditioning. And my mum was asleep in her bed. And my dad suddenly started tickling my feet at 1 a.m. and laughing because he knew I was awake. And I thought, this is rock bottom because my husband's left me. I'm on holiday with my mum and dad and I'm in the same room on a cot bed and my dad is tickling my feet.
That is bad.
That was a bad holiday.
Shit sleep in a cot.
Yeah, I didn't sleep. And I just sat there examining my life choices and thinking about what had happened.
That is
sad.
You should have joined me in Paris. I was probably there at the same time being tragic.
It was really tragic.
Do you remember the sea cat? Do you remember the catamaran thing? Used to go.
It's got the bit missing in the middle. Yeah.
So we went. I've actually not been back on a ferry since because they took us home during like a force 9 wind, but it was the end of the summer holiday. So like, we're gonna have to try and get across because there's a lot of people. We've got to try and get home. And my mum and dad were like, oh, okay, cool. But you know when you see your mum and dad panicking, you go, it's probably time to panic now.
Oh, Greg has an amazing thing with his parents where he used to say to his mum, are we panicking yet, mummy? And she'd say, not yet. And then eventually she'd say, yes, we are panicking now.
Whenever we were running for a train, I'd be like, are we panicking yet? And my mum would go, yes, we're panicking. But the sea cat was a yes, we're panicking, because they took it in this storm and everything. All I remember, I was probably only about 9, but everything was smashing. All the glasses and the bottles in the bar were just going.
To be fair, those are the YouTube videos I like watching.
And you'd watch that.
I love that. And I love a thing of a thing smashing on a boat.
When you see the sea coming into it was that, and everyone was screaming. Everyone was sort of pinned against the wall.
Oh,
I was like,
no.
This would not. That is the '90s. That would not happen.
Yeah, my God.
So I've not been back on. I'm not on a Channel Crossing since.
No, I wouldn't after that either.
The shuttle was much safer.
Yeah, I do like the Euros.
Unless it breaks down, there's a horrible fire.
Good point.
Can you please stop panicking? Yes, I know water is coming through the windows, but we will arrive at our destination very safely. Can you please stop panicking?
You both travel a lot for work, don't you? Tell me about going up Ben Nevis, because there's no chance I would ever go up Ben Nevis.
Yeah, I won't ever go again. So I did that for Sport Relief in 2018.
What's it like up the top there? Is it not? Is it like Starbucks?
It's fine. Enough. No.
Was it too misty to see anything? So you had no view.
It was, yeah.
We
did it in February, and that was part of the Sport Relief challenge. They like to make it hard, don't they? It was during the Beast from the East. Remember? And they'd shut Ben Nevis the week before.
You know what? The Beast from the East. I was once walking down an alleyway, and the wind came down, and it played a tune between my teeth. The Beast from the East. Honestly, it went like a, but it was like a, like that. That's when you know that wind, that's bad wind.
And you sold that idea to Adele.
Yeah.
And it became someone like you.
Someone like you. And I'm suing her. Don't, because this is going to be clickbait now. Every time I mention Adele, it's clickbait. Sick Alan accused Adele of.
Adele steals song from the wind.
Don't cut that, because I really want to see if someone writes that. Yeah, I would desperately love it if someone wrote Alan's teeth wrote a song for Adele.
But I wouldn't recommend Ben Nevis, really, unless you've
Do it in the summer, right?
Do it in the summer, but you've got to have the proper gear. But I genuinely, it's not that funny, I guess, but I genuinely thought I was going to die up there.
Oh my God.
So I won't ever do it again.
Yeah, you came back down with like huge PTSD, didn't you? You basically spent 3 days in a bath shaking.
I just felt really sad because we just got engaged and we were just about to buy our house. And I was like, I'm never going to see that house.
No.
I genuinely...
Excuse me.
I'd never get married.
I'm never going to see that house.
Or that manky finger again.
Whoops. Anyway, I'm moving in here, Alan, if that's okay. But it was sort of an amazing experience.
Of course, and it's the Sports Relief, who I fell out with.
Oh, why is that?
They wanted me to do a challenge. I wanted to skip around the M25. They told me, health hazard, and you put people off driving. But I thought, well, if you go round, I mean, at least you can stop at a moto or...
A
wild bean cafe?
A moto or a bean?
Would you do it?
Says a man that has never been on a motorway.
Would you do it at the hard shoulder?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. That is the most dangerous thing I've ever heard.
How?
People drive into things on the hard shoulder all the time. Oh, you'd be dead within so. Half an hour.
What if I do it on a smart motorway?
The smart motorway,
it's like the shittest, thickest idea ever.
Yeah, it should be the thickest shit motorway.
More like.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, I don't like that. Do you know the cameras do go up? You know when it changes from 50 to 60?
Yeah.
They do flash you. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I didn't know
I didn't know that. My friend got flashed. It's so boring. But, I mean, I just thought someone's in a control tower just putting...
in a tower, just like with magnifying glass and goggles.
40. Right, that'll do. That'll slow Alan down.
I quite like the idea, though. You could be on the back of a lorry.
Yeah.
But skipping in a box or something. Would that work?
That's quite nice. Good,
and then you can sort of parade yourself around the slow lane.
Just do it in a room.
Yeah, but the M25
is a bit
funny,
like a carnival theme.
Yeah,
like
but Rio, a float.
On the M25 at South Mimms. It's like Rio, but in South Mimms.
And it's Alan Carr skipping.
It's skipping. Well, what about running on a treadmill on the back of a thing?
Yeah, do that.
That's quite clever.
Run the M25.
But I thought it was a really good idea. I thought it was a fun idea because it's boring, the M25, and then see me. But I suppose they've said no health and safety. And
I wish they'd said no health and safety to me before I nearly died.
They should have.
Hello, would you like anything off the refreshments trolley? We've got panini, bag of crisps, Fanta, Sprite, Diet Coke. Boiled egg dipped in Ribena.
Are you culture vultures? What are you like? Do you like staying on the beach or do you like going to town?
I like a good church.
I like a church.
I'm not one for sitting on a lounger for 8 hours. I can't stay still for that long.
No.
I like a good church. I like a
good... Sicily's good for churches. Have you been there, Venice?
Venice. We're going to Venice in a couple of months.
Have you been there before?
A million times. And I love it so much. All the churches.
What's that church? Is it Titian or Tintoretto?
Oh, Tintoretto. Yeah, that
is stunning. Go there with all the candles. Oh, you'll have like a
religious
experience.
It's like granny chic everywhere and I love it so much.
Yeah.
So yeah, churches, galleries. Yeah, we're quite big on like... on looking around and seeing the sights.
You went and saw that sheep that was cloned in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I know this answer. We did. You did, yes.
Yeah, we did.
And then I saw your photos when you got back. You put them up and I was like, yeah.
Did you go to St Mary's Axe alleyway that you were going to go
ghost
to?
Tour.
Yes, I did.
Was it amazing or was it underwhelming?
Okay. It was great. The person showing us around was good, but, and they were dressed up in the medieval outfits or whatever outfits they were. But then I saw one of them using a flash wipe on a banister and it sort of, it just, you know, so I was like, oh, I don't feel like I'm ye olde Scotland. It felt like, oh, love, at least when I've gone. And you know, it was like
a COVID precaution, like ruins another thing.
I wouldn't mind, but they're talking about the plague, and there's this dummy in a bed with all the, you know, the bubonic plague, and then there's someone behind wiping a door down. It's like an insult to the people who died from the plague. It's like, hello, you'd use flash.
Yeah, we can cure this now, idiots.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know that when they had buboes from the plague, they used to cut pigeons in half and put one half of the pigeon onto the bubo because they thought that sucked out the poison and the sickness.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
So that's what they do. They'd kill pigeons and that's what they did with pigeons.
You should have put it on your finger, half a pigeon.
I know, I should have.
Is that true? Yes. I love stuff like that. Because I do like my history and I will go. Did you go and see Bobby, what's the dog called?
Grey Fries Bobby.
Yes, we did.
I love the Grey Fries Bobby, the memorial thing.
He has a bigger grave than the people in that graveyard.
Yeah,
which
I think that's right. I think that is right. I'm going to do that for our dog, Barney, when he dies. I'm going to make him out of stone.
Because I like the one in the road, but the one in the graveyard looks like you got it from like a garden centre.
It's not great. Do you know what it looks like? It does look like that, but it also looks like the old guide dog pound coin things you used to put in, the plastic guide dog.
And the one with the caliber used to stand next to it.
I quite like seeing cultural things, but I will also have a time limit and go, all right, bored now.
Oh, yeah, because then you want to go have a lunch with some wine, right?
Yeah, of course you do, of course.
Because I think you
I just mean not the lying down bit for it.
Oh, yeah, I don't like doing that. I like to see the place. But also, I think you can get a bit sort of, when you start going on holiday, you go, oh, right, we've got to have an itinerary. Like, what would our parents do? And you suddenly become a teacher. You're like, right, at 10 o'clock, we're going to be at the Museum of Moving Art Images.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not interested in that.
But we went to the Museum of Scotland in Edinburgh, and that was cool. Especially,
what was Dolly the Sheep like?
I think that's insane.
It's a travesty.
Why is it a travesty?
Because she was this monumental moment in science. She, you know, gave her life to be amazing and be a clone. And now she's on a revolving wheel
in a
museum that kids just run around past her because they want to see the big cars. And she's still got shit on her fleece.
It's real. That's real
Why
life.
Why not clean her?
Oh. That's real life.
They should
get a flash wipe.
Get her a flash wipe.
I might go across the road, get that tour guide with the leggings and the codpiece, get across there and give Dolly a good
I just think embalming things is undignified. Like, it just has to live forever, sort of.
Try turning that
in
to
a
Lennon.
Oh, God, he looked like shit towards
right,
the
see,
end.
Right, see, it doesn't keep you looking young, doesn't keep
and
you
what
looking...
about that monk in Koh Samui? Have you seen him? Who's meant to still be alive, still not... He's not meant to be perishing. Well, they've put some Ray-Bans on him now, so something's going on with the eyes that you don't really want to... And I'm like, you are biodegrading. I don't care what you say. You're a vegetarian, aren't you?
Yeah.
Have you gone anywhere where they haven't really gone and given you a vegetarian option? And I know you can have crisps and stuff. But is there any way they've gone...
It's always France.
Always France, they just...
Yeah, they just will not acknowledge it. They just think it's some kind of weird, perverse thing. And the last time we were there... Well, there was one holiday where the hotel, the chef said, no, he won't make anything vegetarian. He just won't, so I just had to eat bread. And then when I was there with Greg's family, the first year we went with your family, your mum was so sweet and she'd booked ahead at this restaurant and she'd said, look, you know, we've got someone in the party who's a vegetarian, so...
We've got a freak amongst us.
Yeah. She's got one of those perverts. Can you just please give her something?
The green finger. Yeah. She's a freak.
Yeah, the one with the weird exploded finger. The one who's lying down on her plate.
With the face on the tray.
The narcoleptic. And they came over with a chicken stew. And I said, no, I'm vegetarian. They said, yes, it's just got chicken in it. And I was like, no, vegetarian. And then she went, okay, fine. Well, we'll make something with fish for you. And I was like,
oh, God.
And they just were like, I don't know whether they just, I couldn't figure out whether they were just being rude or stupid. But one way or another, the French people are not that into it.
No. Yeah. Tunisia, me and my friend Hayley, we went there. She's like a militant vegetarian, won't have anything. And then they served up this goat curry and she went, no, goat. And then they just scraped the goat
out.
And it's just
so
like a
still...
bit of garnish with... residue of
goat. Yeah, you can really taste the goat. Oh, this garnish is strong on goat taste.
Yeah.
I mean, but then see, I'm fine in Italy, so pizza, pasta, ice cream.
Oh, you can't
know.
Go wrong, can you?
Can't
there?
Go wrong. You just can't go wrong.
I mean, how militant are you as a vegetarian? Because someone told me that don't they put the wine through fish guts?
Why are you telling me that?
Oh, don't ruin wine. That's things, all she's got left.
There are some things I just don't want to know.
I just think with the amount of technology in the world, surely they can make wine without putting through fish guts.
Well, it's like lots of red dyes are made out of like crushed beetles, and you think like surely you could do better now, right? Yeah, like food dyes and stuff. No, well, no, like food dyes.
God, don't ruin my bloody.
Well, you just ruined my bloody favorite
drink.
Oh,
shut up!
Is the fish guts
get off my flight?
Is the fish guts thing real? By the way, is that that feels insane?
That's why you have to check for whether a wine is vegan or vegetarian.
That's it. You see, vegan. Mm. To my vegan friends said, "Oh, I can't have that. It's gone through fish guts." I'm like, what?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is your pilot speaking. We are about to start our descent into Rome. If you'd like to peel your wife's face off the tray table, that would be wonderful. Make sure your seat is in the upright position and your tray tables are stowed away, and make sure your window is up. Thank you, we're about to land in Rome.
I can see the runway we're about to land, so if you'd like to put your tray tables up and your seatbelts on, we just have time for the quick fire round, okay? Nudist or not on your Nelly, have you ever skinny dipped?
Yes.
No, don't think so. I wouldn't do a nudist.
It's so freeing. Something about water on the genitals. Lovely.
a bath,
it's
I agree.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
Okay.
Try it.
I'll try it.
Where did you do it? Was it in Italy again?
Okay.
Thong or sarong?
Sarong.
Sarong. Thong or sarong?
Sarong, I guess.
Yeah. Mozzie guard or no thanks, I'm hard.
Oh my god!
Oh, you're so
much
weak.
Mozzie,
you take all the.
You're I take so... everything. I've got a spray. I've got a thing that pulls out a mosquito sting from your arm like a pump. Oh, I've got god, the works. Yeah, and the best thing you can do is put netting over your windows in a house or a hotel, because I will. I just can't have it. I won't have it.
I take my own netting.
They love me. They love me, and I'm like quite allergic to
them. That's because they smell the weakness.
They swell up.
It's never a thing.
You've got hay fever. That's more weak than mosquitoes.
That's a blood disease. It's not a disease. It's not. The midgy thing is not. It's not a problem. It's
it
fine.
Is. They the love me. My skin swells up. They get like this big. They're horrible.
Oh yeah, I have seen the finger.
Yeah, there true. You go. So absolutely netting.
Do you believe in the gin and tonic? That doesn't
no,
really work. The coil
no.
doesn't work.
No.
I've been on the coil.
What you need is you've been on the coil.
Yes.
You need the sucker.
St. Lucia or St. Ives.
Ooh.
I'm going to say
St. Lucia.
I'm going to say St. Ives.
Oh, controversial.
I love it down there. I love it.
Don't ever go on Mr. and Mrs. You Two.
Oh, God. Is this the end of our marriage?
No, absolutely
it's
not.
It's been a blast.
You've still got that hostess's number, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
Yeah. St. Lucia, definitely.
Yeah.
For cricket and Caribbean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a bit of a cricket widow? Would you like cricket?
No.
Will you? No, Mark. No. Yeah. No. I was going to do a bit of research because you've got a podcast on cricket, but I couldn't bear it.
No, but it's. Have you? Do you listen to it?
No.
Well, no, because it's not about cricket. It's sort of loose.
Oh,
loosely.
Isn't it? Oh, yeah. I will do it
is.
Then.
It's a bit is about cricket.
No, but it's a bit like this is about holidays.
Yes.
Like, it is a bit.
Important travel tips.
Yeah, but it is and isn't, right?
It's an intellectual look on travel.
Thank you. Yes. So we've got an intellectual look on cricket.
I will check it out.
You would actually
he
like
won't.
It. You would be an amazing guest on Tailenders. Honestly.
Oh, will you have me on?
Yeah, of course we would.
Oh, cricket. What about cricket?
You don't need to worry about it. We don't. It's not. It's like that's cricket is in the background.
Do you know what? I mean, this might not stay in, but do you know Mike Atherton?
Oh yeah.
I bought his house from him in Notting Hill, and I didn't even know who he was.
Mike,
and I went, "Oh, would you like cricket? 'Cause there was a cricket bat on the wall."
Yeah. No.
Right, so. Mike Anthony is one of my favourite cricketers ever. That would be a great start to your interview on Tailenders. We'll talk about you've lived in Mike Atherton's house.
I know, yes. It's a lovely house. So I saw this cricket bat. I was like, oh, do you like cricket?
Did he have a mini thing in the garden?
Do you like cricket?
Did he have a mini thing in the garden?
No, it was only a yard. You know what the houses are like there? You don't have much outside.
asking one of the greatest England captains of all time, do you like cricket? is amazing.
Oh, okay, last question. Tip 'em or fuck 'em? That's like you've had great service all thing, and then do you go, ha ha, I'll never see you again. I'm not giving you anything, or do you give
no.
a generous
tip? No. Has anyone ever said fuck 'em?
Tom Jones said, tip 'em then fuck 'em.
Oh, fair enough, that's different.
Please leave, Tom.
You've let yourself down, you've let Wales down.
Wow. No. That's quite on brand though for him, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool.
You'd expect nothing.
He didn't go,
not now, of course. Can't get away with that anymore. I'd say tip him, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you've got to.
There's a lady who runs a hotel in Rome where we've stayed, and I now follow her on Instagram and we send each other little messages because she was so sweet and I liked her so much. Oh. So yeah, like tip him and try and be their friend.
You've got to tip him because we've all done jobs and
absolutely.
So it's not their fault if there's a problem necessarily, is there? But Bella's really good. You've got a catchphrase, which I always take the piss out of you for, which is whenever we're out for dinner, she'll go, oh, that was lovely. Do you get your service?
Yeah,
which is a good question.
I say that as well.
It's a, no, it
yeah,
is good.
Zip it,
no,
Greg,
no, I know it's a good thing to say.
He always takes the piss out of me. He thinks I'm like being like goody two-shoes. But like
sometimes they say
we don't get our service, and then you have to go and get cash for them.
And then you have to do that eggy bit where you take the service off, and then you have to bring cat piece of ball egg.
Because
but you're,
otherwise, the restaurant's taking it and not giving it to the staff, which is really rude. So you've got to make sure.
Yeah, Greg.
All right, fuck off. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just saying it was. Oh, that's,
I don't think it's
Greg,
mockable.
Why you like this.
Yeah.
Sometimes, no.
Why do you hate people who work in the
service?
Yeah,
why do you hate exactly? Why do you
sick
hate
Greg
Mox
waitress?
Service.
It's the real me.
Sick rant.
Yeah, fair enough. The mask has slipped.
And we're just about to land. Thank you so much for flying Alan Air.
I stayed awake the whole time. Thank you so much for having me.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. That was so good. Thank you.
Thank you for flying Alan Air.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. If you want to support our podcast, please hit the subscribe button below. And don't bother unpacking, because we're going away next week.